Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You're listening to AFR, and we broadcasting across the country. I don't know, 190 stations or something like that, 185 stations. It varies. It doesn't vary day to day, but it varies.
Throughout the year.
How many stations? Do you know how many stations we have?
We have 184 stations.
Okay, so neither one of my answers were right. Yeah. 190 or 185.
Yeah.
It was 184.
Right.
184 American Family Radio stations across the country and on the internet. And many of you listen on the internet. We appreciate you. A lot to talk about today. Joining me, the co-host from Dallas, is Dr. Ray Pritchard. Ray's on Tuesdays and Thursdays. He's the president of Keep Believing Ministries. And Ray, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim. How are you today?
Doing well. And I appreciate you being with us again, as you always are. You know, you're going to be out of pocket for a while, right?
Yeah, heading up to Kansas City, Chicago, and then in about 10 days to Missoula, Montana. One of our kids is a pastor. Our middle son, Mark, is a pastor up there. This morning, it was minus 13 degrees in Missoula,
Ray,
Montana.
I know you love your son. I know you do, but you got to say, son, daddy will be there in June.
That's right. Okay? I'm coming in the summer.
I'll be there to support you for the whole month if you want me to, but yeah, but anyway, so you headed to Missoula, Montana.
Yeah.
So one of your sons in the are all three of your sons in ministry work?
Or? Our oldest son served as a missionary in China for several years and is now in Kansas City, and then youngest son in Chicago, and then we have one son who is in full time ministry right now. And that's the one in Montana.
All right. Well, wonderful. We'll ask our listeners to pray for you as you travel and bless your family as they minister the gospel of Christ. Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News. Good morning, Fred.
Good to be with you. I'm just listening to Ray's tour in January of Chicago.
Yeah, who thought that one out, right?
I got to talk to my booking agent, which is me.
And Montana. You know, it's the time of the year, Ray, when you go to those areas of North America, when you breathe in your nose, it hurts because everything, there's not a bit of moisture in the air.
Right.
I spent some time in the Canadian military, and I was in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, our jet training, in December. So cold, folks. I had a four-cylinder little Dodge Colt, I think it was. The engine froze twice. I had to have it towed to a garage to thaw out the engine.
Seriously.
No, I had to have it towed.
The engine froze?
Yeah. For the last 3 or 4 days when I was in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, I left the engine running 24 hours a day on the four-cylinder car because I didn't want to pay $50 to $100. It was cheaper for the gas to run it 24 hours a day than it was to have it towed and thawed out at the local garage.
Yeah, down south, we don't know anything about motors freezing. That sounds like science fiction, but it's true.
It's that cold. How cold is it? There's the question. How cold
well,
is it?
I've got it. You know, it's going to be 19, I think, or 18 here in North Mississippi, tomorrow night or something like that?
Sometime this weekend.
And so I can only imagine if it's that way in the deep south in Canada right now and in our friends in the northern part of the country.
Mm.
Anyway, I don't want to talk about this anymore. This is all I can handle. I hate cold weather. I know as Christians we're not supposed to hate,
right?
But I struggle with that. I don't know if God cares whether I hate cold weather or not. But
it's a spiritual issue now.
Yeah, it becomes a spiritual issue at some point. All right, listen. There's a story we're going to lead with today. Fred's going to lead with today. Very disturbing story. Many of you probably seen this in the news already. And so what we're going to talk about in the next few moments is not for young people consumption, children, I mean, in particular, not that it involves anything sexual or anything like that, but it involves the story out of Chicago that that happened, I guess, yesterday. Fred, what are we talking about here?
What we're talking about is, well, there are four young people in custody in Chicago. The incident is this. What they are going to be charged with is beating up, torturing a young mentally disabled man, and they broadcast it live. Their torture of this young man, they broadcast it live on Facebook. And now Facebook has since taken it down, so don't go there. You won't be able to find it. But I understand if you're so inclined, you could go to YouTube and you'll likely see it there. And there are some news agencies that were able to capture this, and they're showing it. It is extremely disturbing. The language used by the four now that have been arrested, I believe it's two young men, two young women. And they used very colorful language in describing white people, in describing Donald Trump. The four people who have been arrested are African American. The young disabled man.
Are they teenagers?
They are around 18. We're not sure yet. But they would likely be charged as adults. The young man, as I say, mentally disabled. He is seen.
He's a white guy.
He is seen in the picture. They put basically gaffer tape over his mouth. They began to take a knife to his hair to cut off some of his hair.
And they're again. Remember, they're live streaming this.
Yes, laughing and carrying on. What we know from apparently one of the young people arrested was a friend of this and enticed him into a situation where they then began to torture this young man.
Now they're making him say, "They're if you're going to watch this video, it's very
explicit."
I watched it last night for the first time. It was on the CNN was showing parts of it, and it's one of those things you just get enraged second by second watching this. But you have a situation where these black teenagers are making this white mentally handicapped boy. They've got knives out, don't they? They've got knives out all around his head and his body, and then they're making him say expletive. Trump, expletive white people, and it's just, you're going, this is a hate crime. Yeah. If hate crimes exist, this is a racially motivated hate crime, and anyway, it was just, I was thinking to myself, Ray, did you see this?
Yeah, I did, and Tim, this is, we were talking the other day about Chicago and the problems up there, and the complete breakdown, not only of the family, but of all basic morality. How anybody can look at this and not understand, not this is kidnapping, right?
Yes.
This is torture, right? And it is racially motivated. And yes, because this white kid was mentally disabled, it was easier to entice him, but they kept him. They kept him and tortured him and kept him in. They kidnapped him for 24 to 48 hours.
Mm-hmm. And you only see a part of that on the video.
Right.
They made him drink out of a toilet.
Yeah.
Was one part of the story. But what's this is awful. And the police have arrested four of these. One of them was a girl, or one or two of them were.
Two of them were girls.
Go ahead, Fred.
Mm-hmm. But here's the other disturbing aspect of this. The police have had a news conference. They had a news conference last evening. This is it is so blatantly obvious to any normal person. This was racially motivated. This is horrible. But listen to what Commander Kevin Duffin had to say.
Who is he?
He is one of the lead police officers in Chicago. Duffin said the four in custody are, quote, young adults, and they make stupid decisions, end quote. And investigators will have to determine whether the racial remarks were, quote, sincere or just stupid ranting and raving. What are you saying? Oh, this was just a lark. This is just the way kids behave sometimes. No, it's not. And secondly, We know that if the colors were reversed in this,
there would be no Chicago today. It would be burned down.
Chicago would be burnt down. The White House would be commenting on this.
What's her name? Loretta Lynch would have sent 50.
Yes.
FBI.
She would have been involved. Plus, the media coverage of this. This morning when I came in at 6:30 this morning, Central Time, one of the first things I did, I went to the front page of the New York Times. Not a mention of this story. Nothing. The Washington Post, to its credit, about halfway down the page. But the New York Times, nothing.
Right. Let me ask you this, Ray. Here's one of the ironies of this story, is that the political left, remember after Donald Trump won, the night he won, and then for weeks, and even until today,
right,
we keep being told by the political left in this country that it's Donald Trump's supporters that are going to be going house to house and chasing and beating up and chasing out and robbing everybody who's not a white Christian male. That's basically what we've been told.
Right.
Yeah.
That we should fear Donald Trump and his supporters because they're the same as Nazis. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but not by much.
Not really.
Right. Not by much. Okay. So, but what we have here is this is a big story because these are people that obviously hate Donald Trump and hate white people. And this is a case where it's not fake news. This is a real incident of a hate crime, if you want to call it.
Well, number one, sure, they do hate Donald Trump. But Tim, these are young kids. I mean, late teens, early 20s, they learned this from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
They got this from the news media. They got this from their friends. They got this from the onslaught. Somebody taught them this man, Donald Trump, is evil. So they're sort of the symptom of the deeper underlying problem here.
It's the media.
Yeah.
If they do social media and keep up with some news to an extent, then that's what they see is.
So these kids would be seeing themselves as fighters against against Trump and his white supporters.
Yeah.
So they brutalize, torture this young mentally handicapped boy. When you see this, you just go, look at the eyes of this poor kid.
Yeah.
And you're just going, this is, how can somebody do something like this? But, you know.
The way, Tim, the thing I really object to is that police commander calling this a mistake. No, a mistake.
That's what he said?
Fred, the quote you read just a minute ago.
Read it again, Fred.
I'm going to read this quote. This is Commander Kevin Duffin. He said, the four in custody are, quote, young adults, and they make stupid decisions.
Okay, stupid decisions, right? The stupid decisions when you cut geometry class in the afternoon, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a stupid decision. This is not a stupid decision. This is a crime, and somebody ought to go to jail because of this. Not just probation. Kidnapping is a federal crime, and forget all the other political motivations. This is kidnapping. This is torture. Somebody should go to jail. This is not a stupid decision. It's a crime.
Walker Wildman, I failed to introduce Walker earlier. Walker, you our Facebook page.
Yeah, our Facebook page is up and running, and I'll post this story on our Facebook page. It'll be a censored version of it.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is this, the police spokesperson says that we're going to need to investigate the motives and the intentions behind this action and the comments in this video. Well, since when have motives and intentions been a rule for whether you prosecute someone or not? When someone robs a store, you don't go in and say, well, did you really mean to rob this store? Or was this an accident?
I think what he's probably getting at is whether or not it's a hate crime or not, which a hate crime would carry more penalties than kidnapping.
Yeah, but their comments are clearly...
Which shows you, quite frankly, I don't want to get off on hate crimes too much here, but shows you the subjectivity of hate crimes. To me, a crime is a crime is a crime.
Right. Right.
Why should the police have to play psychologists and decide what's a hate crime and what isn't? And why should you be punished more for here's how hate crimes are, I think, shouldn't be considered, really, because if you have a, let's say, a white person or a black person, and a white person is beat unmercifully, and a black person is beat unmercifully by thugs, and you saying, well, the people who beat the black kid up should be punished more than the one who beat the black white person up because it's a hate crime. You see how subjective that is and how right. unfair that is? I would just say, and I think all fair-minded black and white Americans or Hispanic or anybody would say, no, throw all that out the window. If you commit a crime, mm-hmm. I don't care who it's against. You should be punished to the fullest extent of the law. We shouldn't have police chiefs going, you know, we're just going to have to
And what about the fact they broadcast it?
Yes.
We haven't even talked about that. What kind of mind, Fred?
Yeah.
What kind of
It's
what
just stupid kids, you know, doing what kids do, Ray.
But how sick that is. They are proud of what they are doing. To go to your remarks earlier, I believe they believe now they have a license to mm-hmm. do this kind of yeah. thing. This goes back to Barack Obama and Eric Holder. And I'm not the first to make this comment in the last 12 hours on this. This goes back to a climate that has been created in this country by Barack Obama, who played the race card for the last 8 years. You remember Eric Holder? Eric Holder, one of Eric Holder's first decisions as Attorney General, appointed by Barack Obama, was with regards to the Black Panther guy standing out in front of the polling station. You know, that we just had to understand the history of black people, and that he decided not to charge this person with intimidation, this Black Panther. This is the environment that has been created by them to embolden kids like this to say, let's go ahead and do this. We don't care it's an innocent, mentally disabled white person. We're going to make him an example. And it goes to what these Hollywood actors that we talked about yesterday, just saying the hatred is all on the other side. The Washington Post, to its credit, the last paragraph of their story on this morning, they say, this is not the first time in recent months that people in Chicago have been captured on video attacking someone while invoking the president-elect's name. In November, the day after the presidential election, a group of people were recorded beating a 49-year-old man while shouting, you voted Trump and don't vote Trump. Four people were charged with vehicular hijacking in connection with that incident. It all goes to the climate that has been created in this country.
Well, that was some black kids pulling out a white man out of his car
mm-hmm.
and beating the mess out of him because right. they said he voted for Trump, and they didn't even know who he voted for. They just randomly pulled out this white guy and started beating him savagely, as you say, right? Here's the thing, the media has created the image of Donald Trump supporters as people who will do things like these people really did.
Yeah.
Okay. The Donald Trump supporters are supposed to be the ones going out beating people to death because they're not white or right. they're not a Nazi or they're not whatever when in actuality, and you've had several examples of fake crimes that have been exposed. Remember the girl in New York?
Yeah.
The Muslim girl a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. she said, oh, my headdress was, my hijab was pulled off and I was attacked by four people who said, vote Trump. And it turns out she said, after the police interviewed her, she said, I made it all up because yeah. I wanted Trump people to look bad. So I made it up. And that kind of thing's been exposed all over in many, many examples.
Yeah, and remember in the 60 Minutes interview that Trump did right after he was elected, the interviewer cornered him and said, you know, what about these hate crimes
that are being committed by your supporters?
Yeah, and he gave legitimacy to her false narrative,
right.
and
right.
he said, well, I would tell them to stop it. They just need to stop it.
He bought into her. He accepted the premise of
yeah,
the
well,
question.
Yeah, well, it turns out the premise of her question was proved
false.
To be false.
Right.
All of the, most of, 99% of those stories that have come out of Trump supporters bullying and beating up other people has turned out to be fake news stories.
Well, I want to see today if Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of what he will do, the mayor of Chicago, this police chief is a disgrace. And what's his name?
It's Duffin.
In Chicago, if he doesn't ramp up the seriousness of this more than this is just a bunch of four kids being stupid, folks, you got to go watch this video if you think this is four kids being stupid. No, this is four kids being evil.
Yeah,
they are torturing this mentally handicapped young man.
You know, Rahm,
who, by the way, knew, as you said, Fred, knew one of the. One of the girls.
Yeah.
You used to never see girls or women involved in something like this. They're usually more sensitive and tenderhearted than men. Men can be hardened, But go ahead, Ray.
Well, it's a hate crime, not just on the racial basis, but it's a hate crime against the whole disabled community, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm holding my hand up in the air to say, it doesn't matter whichever way you look at this. This is evil beyond belief. This is criminal activity. And I'll just keep coming back to to call this a stupid decision. That is morally wretched, morally empty. That's to call good evil and evil good. This is criminal activity. And again, somebody needs to go to jail because of this.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. What are we doing on Facebook, Walker?
Well, I just posted the FoxNews.com story of what's going on in Chicago right now. And we're also doing Facebook Live. So if you want to watch the show, you can go to our Today's Issues Facebook page.
Well, as we've said here before, if the races were reversed here and you had four white teenagers torturing a young mentally handicapped black kid, first of all, we would all be as morally outraged and incensed as we are now, no question about it. But as far as the media treatment of it, it would be altogether different. And probably the reaction would be, see there? No, I know it's not probably. The reaction would be, see there what Trump caused? See there, we told you when Trump became president, hate crimes would increase. And there's you an example of it. The whole media world would be on top of this story, and
as you said, Loretta Lynch would be calling a news conference.
It just needs to be pointed out. At least thus far, the double standard that exists, also the reaction. You would have people on the streets in Chicago rioting, and. So thus far, you've not seen that kind of reaction on this story. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're going to take a short time out and come back here. When is Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn joining us, Walker?
She'll be on at 11:15 a.m. Central.
Okay. And at our Facebook page, we're live video streaming the show.
Yes. And Marsha Blackburn, Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn, is going to talk about Planned Parenthood and her panel's investigation into Planned Parenthood's illegal actions.
And we're also going to ask her, when will Planned Parenthood be defunded? Because Donald Trump says he's for that, and the Republicans control the House and the Senate. There's no reason that we should not see the end of Planned Parenthood's tax dollars going to that organization. We're going to be back momentarily with more of Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us.
I think I got a stumper for you this week.
Trivia Friday. You know you laugh, and you know you always learn something.
What vegetable did an ancient Egyptian place his right hand when taking an oath?
Yeah, it's funny now, but put yourself in my place.
That funny, Jim?
It is.
But listen to the question.
Trivia Friday. You'll want to tune in. 10 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Isn't it refreshing to have a president that isn't hostile to Christianity? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with the American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, our country was founded on the Judeo-Christian worldview. There's no question about it. The Christian religion was dominant in early America, and there's a reason our country was called a Christian nation. We're going to see this rich history when we go to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon on our Spiritual Heritage Tour in June, and then the other one in September. In addition, we're going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate tour, but you can do both of those tours with us if you would like to. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be our historian as he tells us about our great Christian heritage and history. For more information on either of these tours, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. Four black 18-year-olds brutally tortured a mentally disabled white man and broadcast the gruesome attack on Facebook Live. All the while, they were laughing and unleashing a torrent of profanities, cursing Donald Trump and white people. But you would not know that if you read the initial Associated Press account. They failed to mention the race of the attackers, along with the racially offensive taunting. The Chicago Police Department says there's no concrete evidence it was a racially motivated attack. But I can assure you, had there been four white people torturing a black man, we'd be talking about a very different story. And that's the problem with hate crime laws. All men are not created equally. Americans, we've got a serious problem. But it's a problem that's not going to be solved by the White House or the State House. It's a problem that can only be solved in the Church House. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
You know, just to close out on this, we were talking about this situation in Chicago. We'll see where that story develops today, but police have in custody four young African-American teenagers, two men, two women, and they live Facebooked torturing a teenage white male who's mentally handicapped yesterday. Did it happen yesterday or the day before?
I believe it happened on Tuesday.
Okay, so they videotaped this. You said they tortured him for how long, Ray?
It says for 24 to 48 hours, which is kind of a big window, but that's all the police have said. Okay. So, yeah.
And they videotaped, they live streamed it. So they wanted the world to see this happening. Of course, they're stupid because if they didn't want to be caught, because you don't live video stream your crime to the world for the world to see, and don't think police aren't going to catch up with you pretty quick. But anyway, this situation, we'll see. CNN last night did Don Lemon. I watched his show. He gave it probably 15 minutes of coverage, so he didn't ignore the story. And so it was, you know, but we'll see what happens as a result of this. But we just want to point out that if the roles were reversed here, you know, Barack Obama, the president, and Loretta Lynch, the attorney general, would be in Chicago probably themselves right now, certainly speaking out on this. And maybe they will. Maybe they will today speak out on this. But go ahead, Ray. You want to say one other thing on this?
The bigger picture is that not just in our culture, but in the city of Chicago, which has been plagued by so much crime, so many shootings, so many murders. Clearly, guys, a climate has been created in our culture generally, in our big cities, and in Chicago, where I pastored for 16, 17 years, love the city of Chicago, but a climate has been created where these young people not only did this, and they broadcast it thinking that it was okay, mm-hmm. thinking they were not just going to get away with it, but maybe mm-hmm. be applauded for it. So there is Todd Stearns' commentary, he said the answer is not in the White House, it's in the Church House. Well, certainly there needs to be a great spiritual awakening, because the darkness of these deeds is, there's darkness, and then there's, I guess, what the Bible calls deep darkness. This kind of thing is deep moral darkness.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Ray, but you know, it also speaks to the cavalier attitude in our culture today when certain groups of people are allowed to do this kind of thing, and our courts are not holding people accountable across the board, right, regardless of skin color. Also, the problem in our culture today, we're making excuses for sin. You know, this is a group of people that, 50...
Don Lemon last night on CNN, excuse me for interrupting you, Fred, but this was bizarre, and I watch his show from time to time. You know who I'm talking about,
yeah,
the CNN anchor? He said, this is not evil.
What?
Don Lemon, you can go watch it. He said, this is not evil. He said, somebody called it evil on his show. He had like four panelists, and he said, this is not evil. This is, stupid or whatever, a bunch of kids. And then one of the ladies, African-American ladies, I guess she's a Black Lives Matter type activist. She was going through the history of mistreatment of black people, from back to slavery.
Yeah.
As a reason why these kids do what they do. And I was thinking to myself, slavery? Are you talking about in the 1800s? That's the reason why these four black kids did this to this poor little mentally handicapped white. That's excuse making, is yes. What that is.
Right. And it also enables others to think, okay, it's really not that bad if we do this.
Right. You have to understand how these people feel. This is why they torture this white kid, is because they feel bad about slavery from the 1800s. And it was just, I was just going, we have entered.
Yeah.
You know, you can say that forever.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can
that excuses everything.
That excuses everything. So basically, we've got to see if we can get beyond that kind of thinking, because that only polarizes the races further and creates more problems when you're excuse making. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. No, Walker's not in timeout. We have not forbidden him to talk. It's just that Fred and Ray and I have been taking up all the oxygen here talking about this just sickening story out of Chicago. But Walker, what's going on the...
I posted articles regarding this Chicago crime that happened. But to finish this up, I will quote Don Lemon. I have found his quote here. He says, quote, "I don't think it was evil, just bad home training," end quote.
And he didn't know anything about the home training of these young people.
No.
Right. Which may be good or bad. But for him to say, if you don't believe what happened right here is evil, then you don't believe in evil.
Well, then I guess he has an excuse for ISIS terrorists. That's not evil.
Not evil, it's bad home
training. Torture and kidnapping comes because of bad home training?
Yeah. That was Don Lemon on CNN. He said, this is not evil. And if you watch the video, it takes you about 5 minutes to realize this is raw evil. Anyway, Fred, moving on to the next story.
And it's somewhat related, and you'll understand what I'm saying in just a moment. This is, and I rarely, in fact, I can't remember ever putting a New York Times op-ed on onenewsnow.com under From News Around the Web. But this story really grabbed me this morning. The headline is Why Rural America Voted for Trump. Now, it's written by a guy by the name of Robert Leonard. You probably don't recognize that name because he's just a news director in Knoxville, Iowa. All right? He's a news director at a radio station there. But he's won this spot on the New York Times this morning. Why Rural America Voted for Trump. Now Robert Leonard right away is a self-described liberal. Says he and his parents have voted Democrat. But this is what he had to say. One recent morning, I sat near two young men at a coffee shop here whom I've known since they were little boys. Now about 18, they pushed away from the table and one said, quote, "Let's go to work. Let the liberals sleep in," end quote. The other nodded. Now this is what he says about these two guys, these two kids. They're hard workers. As a kid, one washed dishes, took orders, and swept the floor at a restaurant. Every summer, the other picked sweet corn by hand at dawn for a farm stand and for grocery stores, and then went to work all day on his parents' farm. Now one is a welder, and the other is in the first year at a state university on an academic scholarship. They are conservative, believe in hard work, family, the military, and cops. And they know that abortion and socialism are evil, that Jesus Christ is our Savior, and that Donald J. Trump will be good for America. And I won't read it all, But here's the thrust of it. The thrust of this editorial is why rural America saw something in Donald Trump that they didn't see in Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party. And he says the light for him came on back in 2015 at a pre-caucus stop in Pella, Iowa, by J.C. Watts, a Baptist minister raised in the small town of Eufaula, Oklahoma, hope I pronounced that right, who was a Republican congressman from 1995 to 2003, to begin to understand my neighbors and most likely other rural Americans. And he quotes Mr. Watts here saying, quote, "The difference between Republicans and Democrats is that Republicans believe people are fundamentally bad, while Democrats see people as fundamentally good. We are born bad," again quoting Mr. Watts, he said, and then added that children do not need to be taught to behave badly. They are born knowing how to do that. "We teach them how to be good," he said. "We become good by being reborn, born again." And then he continued, quoting Watts, "Democrats believe that we are born good, that we create God, not that he created us. If we are our own God, as the Democrats say, then we need to look at something else to blame when things go wrong, not us," end quote. So here, Mr. Leonard, this news director in Iowa, is quoting J.C. Watts. But he said he understood all of a sudden why rural America votes the way it does. It is this fundamental belief taken right from Scripture, although Mr. Leonard doesn't quote Scripture necessarily. We believe as Christians that we have a sinful nature, and Republicans understand that, and that we have to learn to be good. We need God's word to show us. But he says Democrats believe everybody's born good. And, you know, through different circumstances, they're made bad, and we just have to kind of turn things around and point people in the right direction because they're basically good. So that's kind of the thrust of this piece. It's absolutely fascinating. And then he goes on to say, you know, the reason why a lot of rural Americans are fed up with liberals is that many liberals live in big cities, and they get all the taxpayers' money for the latest thing in subway systems and all that sort of thing, make it easy to go to work, while rural people have to drive miles over bad roads. And in cities, he says, firefighters and EMTs are professionals whose departments are funded by local, state, and federal tax dollars. Rural America relies on volunteers. If I have a serious heart attack at home, I'll be cold to the touch by the time the volunteer ambulance crew from a town 22 miles away gets here. But then, to shorten this up, to go to the last part, he says, while many blame poor decisions by Mrs. Clinton for her loss in an environment like this, the Democratic candidate probably didn't matter. And the Democratic Party may not for generations to come. The Republican brand is strong in rural America, perhaps even strong enough to withstand a disastrous Trump presidency. Rural conservatives feel that their world is under siege, and that Democrats are an enemy to be feared and loathed. Given the philosophical premises Mr. Watts presented as the difference between Democrats and Republicans, reconciliation seems a long way off. I thought this piece was absolutely fascinating and absolutely bang on.
Ray?
What he's really saying, Fred, in a sense, is that there are political differences. He actually uses the word worldview in there.
Yeah.
That this isn't just about, oh, well, you know, your trade policy versus my trade policy. This is a worldview difference. But actually, we would say from a Christian point of view, this is a theological difference.
Yes.
In how you view humanity. If you view people as basically good, basically okay, then you're going to say what Don Lemon said last night. Well, it's poor home training. If you believe that we are born bad and need to learn how to be good, then you're going to say what happened in Chicago was a terrible crime and they deserve to be punished. And there's not much middle ground between those two views.
Well, isn't this even maybe on a more spiritual level? This, you know, the Bible talks about the heart's wicked, right?
Right.
Of man.
Right.
Without regeneration by Christ. You know, I think if you take the worldview that man is basically good, by the way, if you remove God, as many liberals do, from the equation, then the word good has no real meaning.
Right. Because what is good? Good is just the latest Gallup poll.
Exactly. So this is the problem. This is a real problem with the secular, liberal, progressive movement, is they don't acknowledge God Almighty as the ultimate authority for morality or values or truth. So when you do that, then everything becomes relative and subjective, and it becomes and you ultimately have the breakdown of a society or a culture.
And what this Democrat, Mr. Leonard, as I say, he's a self-described liberal, comes from a Democratic Party family,
right,
who has supported the Democratic Party. He doesn't. You notice he doesn't dump on Hillary Clinton here, that Hillary Clinton didn't get it. He says the Democratic Party, his party, doesn't get it. They don't get this worldview divide in this country.
Well, President Obama, well, I give you, you want two glaring examples of what you've just said here, is that not only do they not get it, but they mock people who are conservative religious people and are people who go to church. For example, President Obama in 2008, I think it was, when he was running for president, remember, yeah, he did an interview with a San Francisco radio station, and it was picked up later and played. But he said, he's talking about middle Americans, and he says these are people who cling to their religion and their guns.
Their guns and their Bibles.
And he's basically saying these are backwards ignoramuses who are rednecks that don't even know that the world's not flat. But that's what he was calling people who were in middle America who were conservative and who went to church, basically. It was what I'm saying. It was, these people peer down their nose at folks like that. Well, Hillary Clinton did pull the same thing just, what, 2-3 weeks before the election?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, she got out there in front of her New York friends and said, hey, Donald Trump's supported by a basket of deplorables. These people, and then she listed all the things that Americans who are basically the rural Americans are. They're Islamophobes. They're homophobes. Remember she lists that,
yep,
whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
And she called them a basket of deplorables. Well, I'm saying that is just shows you the disdain that those in the top part of the Democrat Party have for,
mm-hmm,
half the country, at least, who are voters.
That's right.
And so, interesting. Are you going to post this?
We have it on One News Now, okay, right now, and likely Walker is going to put it up in the Facebook page.
You're listening. Ray, do you think that the Democrat Party will reevaluate this position that this gentleman, who himself is a liberal, has said they have a real weakness for?
They need to. Do I think they will? No. I think there is a deep divide, and in many ways, I think it's the Democrats, at least some of them, clearly think it's in their advantage to exacerbate, to make it worse. That, you know, the last sentence says reconciliation is going to be nearly impossible. Well, he's right. He's right, and I don't, at least now. Okay, Fred, who is the Democrat leader who's going to lead them to reevaluate this?
Exactly.
I don't know who it would be.
Yeah. Well, they reelected Nancy Pelosi,
right,
to lead them in the House, and then you had 60 Democrats to say, we've got to be crazy to be putting Nancy Pelosi in that position. She is one that helped us lose this election, and here we are repeating the same problem over and over again.
Well, the same with Chuck Schumer. He's not, yeah, you know, he is entrenched in his ideological, mm-hmm, liberalism, so he's not going to lead the Democrats to rethink their foundations. They need somebody who will, but I don't see, at least today, I don't see that person on the horizon.
No, and if I were the Republicans, I wouldn't help them out.
No.
Yeah.
Why do you want to help your opponent out? And figure out what's wrong with their party. I always found it humorous to me when, whichever side, could be Republicans or Democrats, who's ever out of power, the other one, the one in power says, see, you need to pay attention to the American people and do A, B, and C, or you're never going to be back in a position of, and I'm going, why are you telling them the strategy for taking your job? I've never quite understood that. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with Dr. Ray Pritchard and Fred Jackson and Walker Wildman. Fred, you got anything? The new Congress is seated, right? And they're
Congress is seated, and we're watching very carefully the discussions going on Capitol Hill these days with regards to the so-called repeal of Obamacare. That's the big news up there. Chuck Schumer, what's he saying? He's calling it Make America Sick Again. That's how he's responding to
Democrat
the
Senate leader.
Democrat Senate leader. On the flip side of this, Vice President-elect Mike Pence was on Capitol Hill yesterday, kind of talking about how they plan to do this. Now, there is a divide. I think there are some people who say throw out all of Obamacare.
And no, that's what Donald Trump said, right?
Yeah.
At least initially.
Initially, that's what he was saying.
The whole Republican Party was saying that until...
And one of the people that's been interviewed here on Today's Issue is Twyla Brace. Yeah, she believes, you know, you got to throw it all out and start all over again. But
repeal and replace.
Repeal and replace. But there are some Republicans are saying, wait a minute now, we'll get some bad publicity if we do that. And so maybe we ought to keep some elements of Obamacare. Kellyanne Conway has been quoted as saying, maybe we better keep that pre-existing conditions.
That's what Trump said on 60 Minutes the day after the election, her boss. So
yeah, that has people scratching their heads on the conservative side. Wait a minute. If you keep that, what's the difference? If you can rename it something, but if you keep pre-existing conditions and some of the other elements.
We were having a discussion on this at the office this morning and not whether the Republicans will, in fact, repeal completely the Obamacare, Ray and Walker and Fred joining me here. Here's my thing. If Donald Trump and Mike Pence and the Republicans don't get that right, then they will suffer the consequences, and they should.
Mm-hmm.
And they should because they were the ones who ran on criticizing Obamacare, and it needed to be criticized because the cost are – well, Donald Trump said it will collapse on its own weight in next year. So if they're going to fix it or replace it or repeal it or whatever they want to call it, then it's on them. The results are on them. So I just, you know, whatever they want to call it, whatever they want to do, the results are on the Republicans because it's their baby now.
I can understand having a discussion right now about, okay, how do we carry out the repeal? That, for instance, if somebody is depending on Obamacare right now who has cancer, you don't say to them 2 weeks from now, you know, okay, Obamacare is gone. Your cancer treatments are gone. You just don't do that. You think about the and they said, you know, as part of this repeal discussion is it may take 2 or 3 years or whatever. But you know what? In 4 years' time, when we have the next presidential election, if we have Obamacare by another name, the American people are not stupid. Unlike what the Democrat strategist who helped design Obamacare said, remember he was caught saying that the American people are stupid? The American people are not stupid. If all you have is Obamacare by another name, and Republicans can say repeal, repeal all you want, the American people, just like in 2010, remember the Tea Party candidates were they came in on this way because they were going to change the Republican Party? You're going to have 2010 all right. over again.
Yeah, and I'm looking into this, and actually 2 days ago, Senator Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, and Senator Mike Lee all sent a letter to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, and essentially they said, we need to repeal as many parts of Obamacare as we possibly can. And so while there is some talk about leaving portions of Obamacare, it's good to see that we have these three senators on top of this, three leading senators in the Senate leading the charge to make sure that we actually repeal Obamacare and don't just change the name.
Well, part of the problem here is the way the law was set up in the first place. The Democrats, they were pretty cunning in the way they did this. You know, part of it was passed by reconciliation. Part of it was passed by you know, regular vote in the Senate and the House. They set it up So it's kind of like one of those suspense movies, you know, don't touch that wire. This whole thing is going to blow up. Hmm. So the Republicans, they're faced with a difficult problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could, quote, repeal it on Trump's first day or his second day, whatever.
Yep.
The real problem is not the repeal. What's going to happen on day three or day four, or else you have pulled the wrong wire and it blows up in your face?
That's a good point, right? Yep. Good analogy. You know, it's much easier for a politician, be he a Republican or a Democrat, to run against something and say, we need to get rid of this. This is terrible. And then it's like people say, well, we're with you. And then you sort of turn around behind you and go, what are we going to do now?
Right.
What now? They agree with us. They put us in office. And now what? Now, hopefully, somebody's thought through all that in Washington, D.C. on the Republican side. I think Congressman Tom Price, the gentleman who's been selected by Donald Trump to head the HHS, Health and Human Services, which is a cabinet-level position, they say he's a very smart guy who's really thought about how to replace Obamacare. But you may have to take it piecemeal. I don't know. I don't know enough about the intricacies of Obamacare to know what you can and can't pull out, what you can and can't repeal and replace. I know what you're saying is true. The trip the wrong wire. Everything right. blows up on the Republicans as they try to change this out. The one thing I never understood, Ray and Fred and Walker, about Obamacare is, and as I say this, people, it's going to, if you don't, it sounds insensitive, but it's not intended to be. I mean, in a perfect world, we'd pay for everybody's health care all day, every day, anywhere they wanted to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's that would be our heart because we don't want to see anybody sick if they can get help. But if you want to talk about money and business, which is what Obamacare is about, basically, is one of the main – you have to talk about that is – pre-existing conditions. You force insurance companies to take people with pre-existing conditions. I never understood that because if you don't have car insurance and you wreck your car, all right, you're going to call State Farm and say, I want car insurance now? And then
make it retroactive.
Yeah, make it retroactive before this afternoon because I just had a wreck. They're going to say, we don't do that, sir. That's why you have car insurance before you have a wreck. Mm. Well, for people for insurance companies to be required to take people who have a illness, but they don't have insurance, but then they get sick and then they say, "I want insurance." You know what I'm saying? That will ruin you, and that's what's happened here, mm-hmm. right,
Brett? Exactly. This is why the insurance companies are getting out of the exchanges. They found out they're not making any money. And that sounds terrible. You mean you're in
insurance
the business.
Insurance companies have to make money.
They have to
exist. Now, some people would say that's why the federal government needs to take over the entire healthcare system like they have in
Canada, Britain.
Yeah, which is universal healthcare or government controlled healthcare. Mm-hmm. That's a whole set of other problems that it isn't. Isn't an even trade there?
No.
You have to consider the downside of the federal government taking over everything. It would mean the federal government would tell you what doctor you can go to, when you can go to him, what treatment you can get. So it's not as easy as saying, well, the government should pay for everybody's health care and everybody's happy. No, it's not quite that simple. We'll be back after the news with more of today's issues on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.